want to call this meeting to order. It is Monday, July the 15th at approximately 6 p.m. And before we do a roll call, I need a motion to allow Trustee DeSchmidt to join by phone.
I'll make such a motion.
And a second?
Second.
Okay. Now, roll call.
Can I ask what the reason why she's...
Oh, she's ill.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Just for the record.
Olson?
Yes.
DeSchmidt?
Yes.
Boyer?
Yes.
Esaias absent. Barry?
Yes.
Vaccaro, yes. Dany?
Yes. Yeah. Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Do we need town hall, Carol?
No, we do not.
So our agenda today is to review review of the space need assessment proposals. And the first gentleman we have is... This is Mr.
I'll
Moser.
Take it from here. Good evening, everybody. My name is Andy Dogan from Williams Architects. We are based in Itasca, and thank you for inviting us in today. My understanding is that you have reviewed proposals and have some questions for us, but if you don't mind, I'd like to just tell you a little bit about our firm for about 30 seconds or so, just very briefly.
Lynn, I just want to confirm that you can hear.
There's background noise, but I can hear.
I'll certainly do my best to speak up so you can hear as well. Our firm is based in Itasca and has been in business for 50 years, really focusing on places in the community that people get to go to. So 99% of our work is in the public sector. In addition to libraries, we are working in parks and recreation. We've been the architecture firm for the Bartlett Park District and their projects for a number of years. We do a number of public safety projects, including the recently completed Bartlett Police Station expansion. Again, that's as our firm, not me individually. And I like to mention as well that I have a bit of a personal connection to Bartlett. I was playing in the Apple Orchard Fields here in Little League as a nine-year-old watching this building go up. So I've seen it grow over the years as a kid and now an adult, and I'm happy to be here this evening to talk to and answer your questions about what we do and how we do it.
Okay. Questions? Trustee?
Yes, Ms. Charles.
Can you tell us a little bit about how you approach community engagement?
Absolutely. So we always put community engagement as an optional service in our proposals because we never know right off the bat whether it's something you as a board want to do. But assuming that you do, it can look very different for different libraries. In general, we try to do two things that ensure that we get as much of a cross-section of the community as possible. The first thing we like to do is once we're at a point where there is something to react to, either proposed improvements or changes or a concept plan, whatever that may be, we like to get as much informal feedback about that as we can. And the way that we like to do that is in person, but not through a presentation or a PowerPoint that an architect would give to anybody who's interested, but rather in a very informal open house format where there would be a number of boards around the room talking about different aspects of the project. So what's driving the need? What could the improvements include? What are the proposed costs? What sort of contractor opportunities are there? And that does two things. One, it allows folks to zero in on the aspects of the project that they are personally most interested in. You might have people who are all about fiscal impact. You might have contractors in the community who are interested in a potential project coming up, or people who are just interested in what the library is going to do. So that format allows people to get the information they want, give oral feedback, give written feedback on comment cards. And it also prevents any one person from sort of hijacking the room, for lack of a better term, by getting up and interrupting a presentation, since it's much more low-key, smaller groups, individual discussions, and we would have a number of our folks on hand to help facilitate that. So that's the biggest component, and then we reflect those findings back to you. The second component of it is an online survey that is that essentially follows the same format and seeks the same information as the open houses. It's very easily done either in Google Forms or SurveyMonkey. I've probably administered a dozen of them myself over the last 5 or 6 years. If you have communications people who like to do that on the library side, we can provide the materials. But the goal is to understand what people are concerned about and to try to pick apart common threads of concern from a wide cross-section of the community so that you as a board are informed and can take that into consideration along with our findings for space needs and our concepts for potential improvements to the library. So everything is reflected back to you. We like to give you an entire, I guess I'd call it a data dump for lack of a better words. We would certainly summarize the findings and tell you what we believe it means. We'd want to reflect that back to you as a board. You'll find that we really like to communicate quite a bit in person and be very responsive to your concerns and patient in answering questions. So that is our normal process. Having said that, though, we've done all sorts of things. We have done one of those and not the other. Sometimes we've been asked to facilitate specific focus groups of stakeholders. For example, if the library were to embark on a reconfiguration project, what would school district U46 or the surrounding schools think about that? What would the park district think about that? Do you have groups of library users within the library who may have specific concerns? So we're able to facilitate that kind of smaller group discussion as well. And to be honest, it really comes down to what you want and what you think will be the best tool to engage your community. There's no way I can come in and tell you as a board and residents of Bartlett that I know more about Bartlett or the Bartlett Library than you do. But we can help each other together to get that feedback from your community and whatever stakeholders you feel important, and we're very flexible in how that happens. So hope that was an answer that talked about how we do it or some of the ways that we do that.
Have you ever approached it from the standpoint of a library that's disconnected with its community and really has a large population out there that aren't seeking our services or their services, and trying to get to those people and understand why it is?
I'm pausing to think about that for a second, because I think every time we do community engagement, there is always a section of the community that not only doesn't use the library, but may not be completely aware of what the library is trying to do. There are a lot of folks in the community who have absolutely no idea about the kinds of programming and the kinds of tech services that are happening in library buildings. So, yes, part of that process, and we've often had some of those boards at those open houses that I'm talking about, talk about, here is what the library is doing. Here is what we are doing to try to engage the community. And if there's a financial ask, quite honestly, this is why we're asking for it. So it's just as much about telling people about the improvements as it is the why behind the improvements.
I have several questions.
Yes.
The first one has to do with, what's the time frame when you're talking about this community survey or community engagement?
Generally, with community engagement, I'll answer the open house question, so the in-person event. We would typically do two different sessions within about a week of one another. We recommend doing two and doing them at different times of day so people with various conflicts are able to get in when they, if they have a conflict with one, they can get to the other. Then for the survey, we usually like to have that open for at least 3 weeks. We'll help you however we can with your social media and your other forms of communication to get a link out there to it. It's fairly common for us to get anywhere between 100 and 200 responses for an online survey. So between that and the open houses, we usually would see for a library of this size between 200 and 300 different, I would say, pieces of input. But to answer your question about the overall timeline, generally it tends to add about a month to the process because it's in your best interest to reflect back on what you heard and see if that changes any of the planning and the assumptions that our team is recommending to you. There may be things that folks are really looking for that we hadn't heard in our initial analysis. There may be concerns that we didn't expect, and we'll at least want to have the conversation with you to understand if any of that feedback should affect the planning direction and the findings. Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't, because it's hard to say, because it's hard to know exactly what the feedback or the concern will be.
The other question was, in your letter to use, talk about cursory condition assessment. Could you explain that process?
Sure. Well, we understand that you've been working with John Shales at SMC Construction Services on a number of projects around the building. We work with SMC quite a bit, probably 10 projects in the last 5 or 6 years, and John is excellent. But I understand he has done a little bit of capital assessment for you, and we don't mean to redo that or duplicate a service, but it's important for us as people who will be embarking on a planning exercise for you and visioning the future of the library and assessing your needs to get our own look at it and arrive at our own conclusions. The other thing that I think is a little bit different from an architect's standpoint than a constructor's standpoint is we're able to identify any potential code issues within the building that a constructor just isn't trained to look for. And perhaps more importantly, accessibility issues or accessibility code violations or things that are not in compliance with current codes that may have been at the time they were built. And that's important for us to know because the easiest grant funding that's out there for you to get for improvements to this library is through the State Library's construction grant program for accessibility. It's $50,000 for the asking, essentially, if you fill out the application and do the paperwork right. So we think it's important to get that foundation because, one, it can help you with money. Two, it may inform other things that you need to do besides space. And three, it gives us opportunities to understand, let's say we find a concern or an issue with a particular system in the library. Is there an improvement or a spatial change that we can make at the same time to drive some economy of scale in addressing all of those issues? So hope that helps understand why we like to do it.
I have another follow-up question. Going back to the community survey, you mentioned that might be an additional $2,500.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any other, was that with the two open houses and the...
That would include all that. And the reason we always put that as an additional service is because we're never quite sure until we have these discussions whether it's something you're looking for. If I would have heard that if it was identified as a very clear scope within the RFP, we would have included a service to do that. So that's our recommendation, but one of the things I want to emphasize is that please don't consider this proposal a bid if we are a firm that you're interested in working with and would like to talk about the numbers or tailor the scope of services around community engagement or around something else. We're willing to have those conversations. Yes, ma'am.
Question. Looking at this, it's like a 9-month time frame. Is that typical for our size of library or typical for doing this type of program?
It's I would say that it really doesn't have much to do with the size of library, because whether you're working with a library in a town of 1,000 or a town of 100,000, you really need to go through all the same steps and have the same communication and touch points with the community to be able to really make that happen. And I think what we found, two things really impact the schedule. One is community engagement, and two is just exploring the different options that come out of the needs assessment piece of it, which comes first. The needs assessment piece, I can say, almost without fail, happens very predictably within a 2 to 3 month process. There's not too many variables that go into that. It really just, what comes next? How many options are we going to look at with you? How much community engagement will there be? Do we need to, once we have some concepts and some potential costs, do we need to look at putting together a master plan or a phasing plan to say, well, we don't have all the money to do everything you're recommending right now, but here's how, a roadmap to get there. And all of those things take time around board schedules and being able to react. So it's really hard, I guess it's a really long way of saying it's hard to know exactly how long something is going to take right off the bat. And I would rather give you a timeline that I feel very confident that it can be done in, rather than something tight that I have to disappoint you and change your expectations. But having said that, if things go well, if we're in agreement, if the concepts make sense to you, if we're able to engage SMC as well as our own sources for cost opinions, and things start to crystallize pretty well, sometimes the process goes faster. At Forest Park Public Library, this was back in 2018 with a director who's no longer there, but that process ended up taking about 5.5 months because we were able to really get to the heart of the issues very quickly. And then we moved right into a project after that.
If it takes longer, is there different prices or more? This is the price no matter how long?
No, this is the price. We have standard language, as most professionals do, about additional services. The reality is that is extremely rare in a feasibility study or a needs assessment exercise like this. We do not bill on an hourly basis. We bill against a fixed fee, and if it takes more time than we anticipated, that's on us. We're still giving you the same service at the original fee. The only time I would say a fee might change is if something were to be discovered in this process where we would say, hey, we might want to have an outside company test that or take a look at that or something like that. But that wouldn't be to us. That would be to whoever is doing that. That sometimes happens in the course of a condition assessment when there's something that a naked eye can't see but a testing instrument could. But other than that, I've never had an additional service on the study before.
Well, I want to thank you very much. We do have others that yes. are going to be listening to. Thank you for your time.
Okay. Thank you very much, Peggy. Tom Polis says hello. Right. Nice to meet you all. Thank you very much.
Having your own summer there, Katie?
Yeah, thanks.
Don't share.
Okay, these are our, this is our second company. This is Jamie and Megan from 845, and they also have the Ivy Group on the phone if there's any questions that pertain to them. So I welcome Jamie and Megan. Thank you. And we have about 15 minutes for answers and questions. Thank you.
Thank you.
Trustee Olson, you want to start us off?
I'd like to understand a little bit about your use of the Ivy Group and how you view their function.
Sure.
And I know this is trade secret, but I'm still going to ask the question. Roughly what part of your cost is associated with their services?
Yeah, so Ivy Group is our partner who will be conducting kind of the community engagement portion of our proposal. So they're we've done it on our own, but they're truly the experts in it, gathering information from the community, generating interest to complete the surveys for multiple user groups. And Sarah, if you can hear me, feel free to chime in here on kind of your specialty here. But we just felt that not knowing the library and knowing that you have not had a community engagement activity in quite some time, that it would be a good starting point before we get too deep into a needs assessment for the building. As far as the cost for Ivy Group, I think their fee was roughly around $10,000, and our total fee is about $40,000, if I'm not mistaken. So they're about
go ahead. I'm just making sure it's loud.
Oh, okay. So, you know, they're maybe a quarter or less of our fee. The rest of that would be for our work on the project. And then we also have Leopardo, which is our cost estimator for the project.
I had an opportunity over the weekend to go to the LaGrange Library.
Oh, LaGrange Park, yeah.
And I like the building. In your references, however, you, with the exception of them, which I think was the only library that you referenced, do you have other library clients?
We also included Highwood Public Library in our proposal. We finished their renovation in December of last year. Our reference for that is actually an owner's rep. That was our main contact for that project. So that finished in December. We started on that project in June of 2020. So we kind of had a weird design phase with them because everybody was trying to kind of figure out how the world was going to move forward during that time. But we had some grants that we worked through with them as well. And that was kind of the reason for the really extended timeline. But that project was a full renovation and addition project for their community center and library in Highwood.
What's your assessment of the current legislative environment as far as public funds available, particularly at the federal level? I understand they're being passed through Congress bills that include monies for specific libraries.
I mean, I think what's key is talking to your local representatives. That's sort of the starting point. So I'm actually a trustee for LaGrange Park for my town. So I did assist LaGrange Park in getting, we got a grant that was held up because Alexei Giannoulias had just come into office and they weren't releasing funds. So just by my chance, I guess, we worked it out with the state and the grant was given to us. So that sort of extended our timeline too. They weren't releasing funds, and then we kind of went over people's heads, and they released it. So I think that's the starting point, is we have to talk to representatives of the state, which I go to Springfield at least a couple times a year. So so I am active in the state legislative area, and you know, will assist however I can with my clients, even though I'm working for LaGrange Park or volunteering for LaGrange Park. So I think that's the start with it, and then finding out what monies are available. And also, once we have a plan, you can go to your local legislator rep and say, this is what we plan on doing, this is how much money we need, what can you do to help us? And usually, they are more than happy to help another government body.
Yeah, but have you had any experience or knowledge of what's happening at the federal level? I know the two libraries administrators have recently received funding through Congress.
So, I believe,
your public library.
can we kind of maybe stick with just this instead of worrying about the funding from the federal government?
We do, just to briefly answer your question, we do have experience at the federal level too. We have two clients right now seeking federal funding for two projects, not library projects, but as Jamie said, it starts at the local level. Usually they can kind of catapult you into, you know, making relations with state senators so that you can get into the federal level. And I think as long as you're patient and willing to wait, there is a good success rate, but it is a long process to go through the grant process to get approval before you actually see the dollars.
And you usually need to have a plan in place.
You need to be shovel ready.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You worked also with the St. Charles Library, is it, or the Park District?
So the St. Charles Library, the executive director there, Kate Buxton, was the executive director at LaGrange Park when we started the project. They've since had a leadership change, and I think the letter of recommendation she wrote for us was on her St. Charles letterhead.
It was actually the Grange Park, right?
Correct.
Monica? Dave?
No, actually, Monica, I've asked some questions.
No, go ahead.
Okay, I was going to ask about your community engagement. Could you describe that process, what that would look like?
Sure.
That would be Sarah. Sarah Hamfeld from the Ivy Group is on the line here.
Sarah, can you explain the community engagement process?
Be happy to. So in this case, we would be doing a community-wide survey, and we pitched this as a community survey and not a library survey because we want to hear from everybody involved in the community. And we want to really position it as, even if you've never set foot in the current library, you still have something to say about this project. Now, where do we want to be in the future? So that's sort of the work that we do even before we put pen to paper to come up with all the questions that we want to ask. That's the beginning. As part of our proposal here, we also include a promotional plan. Ivy Group has worked with hundreds of libraries across the country in the 30 years that they've been doing library work, and we've been doing library work. So we are also our marketing agency. So getting the word out is kind of where we live. So we'll make sure that we get high response rates by promoting the survey. We'll provide some sample messaging. We'll also recommend some activities to do, where to place these messages, and advise on sort of what the budget would be in order to get the most reach as part of the survey. Like I said, we are experienced in doing community surveys. I have a couple running right at this moment, and it's a great way for us to learn about the community, and we also kind of rely on our experience in interpreting those results so we can look at our own internal database responses and say, so you've got, you know, maybe 75% approval here. We'd like to see that in the 80s, so this is maybe the next step that we can think about based on the results of the survey.
Okay, thank you.
No, I just had a question. I mean, it's how do you involve other, do you translate your surveys?
So I think that's what Sarah was kind of alluding to. Oh, go ahead, Sarah.
I missed the middle of the sentence.
Oh, she missed the middle of the sentence.
Oh. Yeah. Sarah, I'm going to move you a little bit closer. They're asking about translating the survey results that you receive.
Mm-hmm. We did not write translation as part of the survey. We find that it's usually more cost-effective for the library to work with a local partner in providing the translation of the questionnaire and of the responses. But if that is sort of beyond the capacity of the library, we can certainly offer some for translation.
And that's kind of where that transition would happen between Ivy Group and us. We're pretty good at interpreting things and what that means from a space standpoint. If we get community survey back that says, you know, I can't schedule any time with my volunteer groups to the library. Okay, well, that means you need meeting space. So that's kind of how that would work, that translation.
This is Lynn, one of the trustees. I'm on the phone right now. I had a question. Maybe I didn't quite hear. Do you also do in-person groups?
Yeah.
You do.
You mean like gathering information?
Right. Have meetings at the library, different days or times,
Yes. So I would say that the community survey is just one facet of our information gathering. You know, we would like to tour the space. We'd like to hear from the staff that works here. And all of this we would leave at the discretion of the board or executive director about who are we connecting with to hear feedback with. On LaGrange Park, for example, the executive director was able to kind of set us up with certain patrons that they knew from different areas of the library. So a children's patron, young adult, adult. That would give us candid feedback on the library, and we would probably lean on you to provide those connections. But also just interviewing staff, there'd be a staff survey as well as a community survey. All of those are good pieces of information, good nuggets that help us build what is being thought about the building.
Right. I think as a trustee in the community, we hear different things, and patrons that attend the library and things they would like to see changed. We don't know if we're going to connect with those people again to say, come to our survey. So by networking it out through the website or Facebook, of course, is going to benefit.
Right.
I see in your proposal, withdraw the question.
Trustee Boyer, did we answer your question before?
No.
Okay.
But yeah. Kind of.
Her face was like, sorry.
Yeah, and I meant language, but I also understood what you were saying, that you would translate the results for us.
Yes, I'm
into
sorry.
Into something digestible. That's how I was like, okay, yeah.
I was stuck in my my architect world here.
You're okay. You're okay. I understand.
We also turned over a spreadsheet of numbers.
Anyone else? Okay, with that, thank you ladies both very much for coming out.
Thank you all.
Don't forget your phone.
Yeah.
And the fire department, that was very nice. Very nice.
Yeah, they were great to work with. And it was a similar process too, where we met with stakeholders, we went over everything, found their needs, and then.
This is Dan from Product Architecture. He is our third contract.
How are y'all doing this evening?
Hello. Thanks.
We have about 15 minutes.
Okay.
Trustee Olson, yeah, I'm trying to find mine too.
Product Architecture.
You guys are starting with questions, is that correct?
You can introduce yourself.
Oh, I'm sorry. My name is Dan Port. I'm one of the partners at Product Architecture Plus Design. My partner Tiffany is actually giving a presentation for the new youth services department we're designing at Cook Park tonight out of the community. So she's sorry she can't make it, but hopefully I can answer all the questions that you have. Our firm is about 15 years old. We're 9 architects. We are full service, meaning that we are full design from planning, architecture, interior design, lighting, and also furniture, which makes a huge difference, I think, in terms of the overall design. We do look at all options, meaning that we are not tied directly to construction, but we make sure that when we're looking at how to make the spaces as versatile as we can, we're always looking at how to use furniture as part of that solution. We focus almost entirely on libraries. Our typical project is between $2 and $3 million tier renovation. And then we typically have a $10 to $12 million new building or large addition that we do each year. We're very proud of that. We have a really good track record of bringing projects in on budget and on schedule. We typically work with construction managers. I think you guys are used to that also. We look forward to sort of seeing what questions you have about what we've submitted. And how we can help you design your library for the future. I know you guys are looking for sort of 20-year plan space needs analysis. I'd say the majority of our projects start with the same idea of a space needs analysis. We typically call it a master plan. But the idea is sort of looking at the building holistically, giving you lots of different options, typically three or four, that have to do with the amount of construction that you want to partake in the building. So the first option would be kind of the least construction and most sort of planning within the building and or furniture solutions. Second is typically a combination of the third and the first. And then the third option is typically sort of pie in the sky, looking to see if you want to add, you know, pools on the roof and stuff outside, or, you know, whatever you guys want to look at. We just make sure we cover all the bases. So that I think the goal, obviously, is that when you're looking at expenditures over the next 10, 15 years, that we can give you a good roadmap in terms of both planning and budgeting to understand what you'll need to do to achieve the goals that you want in terms of library and programming and services for both your staff and patrons, but also making sure that you don't get in your own way, meaning that you do a renovation, and then in 5 years you think you want to do something else. It's really a clear map of kind of what you want to do for the next 2 to 10 years for sure.
Trustee Olson.
I didn't notice in your proposal anything specific to community engagement information seeking from
sure.
the public in general.
Yep.
And can you address that?
Absolutely. So typically, we have three things that happen. One is we look pretty highly upon your strategic plan, making sure that obviously you guys know your community pretty well. So we look to see sort of the goals that you've had and build with the community at large. Second is we do typically two community meetings. The first one is in the beginning of the project, which is really kind of introducing ideas or introducing what can happen in the library that maybe isn't happening currently at the Barfield Public Library. We really try to make sure that it stays kind of general. We get kind of larger ideas, making sure that the public is understanding that there is a potential renovation happening at the library. These are the types of things you can do in a library space or looking forward towards technologies and programming spaces. And then collection sizes and sort of support spaces, study rooms, stuff like that. And then third is typically once we have a scheme, we like to really go back to the public and kind of get their input on decisions that the staff and the library board have made. That's typically through renderings or plans and kind of looks at how the project has moved forward. And then after that meeting, which is typically right before we meet with the board for the final time, so staff is built, we meet bi-weekly with the staff, building ideas. Typically, the beginning, again, is with board, staff, and the community. And at the end, we have a community meeting, and then we also engage with the board, obviously, for final approval and going to pricing. Does that answer your question? And then also, I'm sorry, secondly, we've actually seen surveys be extremely useful. Second-party surveys being extremely useful in terms of libraries getting information that's a little more higher level and kind of engaging to make sure that we're reaching kind of people that typically come to the library really like the library, and they kind of and you're also trying to reach people that are outside the library and get them to come use it more often from the community. So I think sometimes a second-party survey we found recently at Roselle has been really useful in getting sort of ideas that the community feels at large about the library kind of as a whole.
I was having a hard time hearing. All I got out of that was two community meetings. It wasn't spoken clearly. Can you tell me the other two?
Yeah, we typically have two community meetings, one in the beginning and one at the sort of once the design is a little bit more developed. We meet with staff bi-weekly. And we've also used surveys with the community, with second-party surveys that have been really useful in kind of reaching community members outside the library that both use the library and maybe some of the community members that have not used the library and you're trying to engage with them, understanding things that they're looking forward to in a library space.
Okay. Well, we know the needs assessment is important.
Sure.
And every library that enters into this direction is looking to see, do we need to expand? Can we utilize what we have? And those are all challenges that you've taken on, correct?
Absolutely. So I think when I was describing sort of our process before and those three options, the first option is absolutely looking within your envelope, making sure that we're giving you the most bang for your buck. The second option that we look at, it's not numbered 1, 2, and 3, but they typically end up that way, is sort of a little bit more scale, a little bit more construction. And the third option There was some idea of looking at potential expansion. We could look at that as part of the third option, and then we'll give you pricing for each of those so you understand what it means to have those as part of the solution.
Okay. I think that's all important, and it's important. I think we recognize that. Thank you, sir.
No, for sure. I'm sorry you couldn't hear me earlier.
Trustee Olson. Did you have one more thing, Joe?
Yes. I'm not sure that we really have a good handle on our community and what their desires are. About only one in four persons in the community actually have a library card. Okay. One in a little over 20% of, closer to 30% of the population actually, by headcount, come through the door on a monthly basis.
Okay.
That's why you're going to be doing this survey.
Yeah, absolutely.
I suspect that we, for some reason, aren't engaging with people, perhaps because we're not offering the services. That's why I was asking about the community engagement portion.
No, and I think, again, I think the sort of second-party survey is a really helpful tool for reaching potential patrons, I'll say. Obviously, again, I'm repeating myself, but people that typically come to the library love it. And so you are really trying to find, you will get some good information from that for sure in community meetings. It tends to be a little bit more specific towards your library. So I think looking towards future programs or things that will expand what you're offering towards the public, I think that second party survey is really useful for sure.
So there's not an actual concrete quote in here. We would have to decide what we want or how?
So our RFP, so our proposal does not have that survey currently in it. But if you're interested in that, we can help you work towards that for sure.
So what is your total quote right now?
I think it's 14,000 if I'm right.
Page 27, part one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry, I apologize.
No, not at all. So there's one other thing with our firm too is in these early portions of the project, so in the master plan, I'm not sure that's mine. Tiffany and I, who are the two partners in the project, or the firm, actually work directly with you on your master plan. So we will continue that throughout the process, and you get 50 years of experience working on libraries through Tiffany and I. So we're not sort of interviewers and then we leave and our team takes over. Either she or I or both of us will be at all the meetings, and especially in the beginning part of the project, we're engaged the entire way, sort of setting up the base of the project.
It's always exciting to go visit a library that's just been updated, remodeled, added an addition. It just brings a new light to the creativity that can draw people in.
Right, but we're asking questions.
From other towns coming here to Bartlett to use a library on a regular basis, just like, you know, everybody visits every all around. So it's positive to see your resume. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you so much.
Look, I don't know if you have a ballpark of what a survey might be. Do you have a range?
I have to say, the director at Roselle is the person that quoted or contracted them, but I can get that information for you very easily. I wouldn't see it being more than $10,000, but I'd hate to quote it for you and then understand it. And I know it also depends on the scale of the survey that you want to undertake.
Mm-hmm.
We've just found it as a really useful tool to kind of get that kind of that different information that you're not getting from people. We can have meetings here a lot, and we can typically understand what information we get, more study rooms, more popular, bigger programs, possibly a makerspace. Those are things that we can understand pretty easily. And again, it's sort of reaching out beyond the walls. Sure.
You have, as an additional cost, $3,500 for optional rental.
Yep.
Well, when would that kick in?
So we typically draw, so as part of our process, we draw plans that actually show all of your collection and furniture and rooms so that you understand what's happening at a one-to-one scale. Sometimes you'll see drawings that are kind of vague, like it's a yellow area and it says youth. We really show you how your collection fits. Some libraries don't want to spend the money to get 3D renderings to show what the potential of the new spaces is. We offer it as an additional service that if you do want images, we can do them really easily. And if you don't want any images, you don't have to spend the money. Typically, what we're trying to do here is keep the cost, upfront cost of the study as low as possible so that you're getting the most information that you can get useful moving forward. And we're keeping it at a low rate because you really want to spend that money on the projects that you decide to do.
I have a follow-up. Well, you mentioned earlier there are one, two, three
yeah.
options. Are those renderings?
No, those are typically plants. So renderings are like images that show you kind of a makerspace could look like this. So okay. we could either do that through showing you images of makerspaces that we've done, or we can render the space that we think you guys would like, or sort of look at the level of quality and kind of the aesthetic of your building and match that. And then sometimes pictures are easier for the community to engage with. So if you really are having a hard time, or you really want to make sure that you have sort of this presentation that the community you think would feel more comfortable looking at beyond the plans, then I think renderings help that out. But again, it's entirely up to you. And we've seen boards probably go 50-50 on that, for sure.
We have a few minutes.
Thank you.
Sure. Yeah, for sure. Thank you.
Yeah, so we talked a little bit about renderings.
Yeah.
I've also seen some, like, BDR stuff.
Yeah.
Like, do you,
Absolutely.
Is that an option?
Tiffany is, again, she's at the community meeting tonight for Cook Park, but we did, for the youth services, we use a VR code that we put around the space. And you can actually use your phone. Okay. You don't need the goggles. And you can scan the QR code, and then you can see the new space as you're looking at the old space. So it's super easy.
Yeah.
It's part of our rendering program. It's been a tremendous tool for people to be able to understand how to use it. And the technology is very advanced, but it's really accessible.
Yeah.
And it allows, again, I'm repeating, but it allows people to see a level of finish, a level of the space, an understanding of how the space lays out in terms of the space plan. And it's been an invaluable tool. We use it almost on all of our projects for sure.
It's talked great. A little bit about flexible spaces.
Yes.
What's your philosophy behind that?
We have two. It's probably more than that. But one is we never want to see a space dark. So throughout the day, if you're walking through the library and you see a space is unused or not being used to its potential, we try to avoid that as much as possible. Sometimes with teen spaces, that can get a little weird if they're enclosed. But I think multi-purpose rooms have been a little bit more useful than like straight makers or straight program rooms. We just like to have a sink in there. We like to have a lot of storage. We like to have the ability to have equipment in there that we can either wheel in and wheel out. That allows the room to sort of act like a meeting room. It acts like a book club room. It acts like a youth program room if you have more people than you know. We've done retractable walls in there so that it can hold 100 people or 20. We're really finding out that the most versatile we can make the multi-purpose room, I think it's more of a better use of space than sometimes dedicated spaces that you can't use throughout the day. So the teen is a little always kind of the weird one in that, but beyond that, I think we've been pretty successful in sort of making that multi-purpose space either through furniture solutions and/or rooms that act like different things throughout the day.
Made me laugh because teens are weird.
Yeah, no, it's hard to. They want their own space, and it
that's
gets
right.
very specific, and that's good.
Anyone else? Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. Oh, thank you so much.
Lakeville is amazing.
Oh, thank you. It's a pleasure meeting you guys.
Thank you for your time.
Yep.
All right. Did you sign in here?
Say it. Oh, yeah, sure.
You can see the old way and the new way. How cool is that?
There's like, you know, like glasses and
yeah.
you can put them on and you can like
a virtual
like,
reality.
Oh,
kind of
that's kind of
cool.
Yeah.
So hot.
Yes.
So beyond me. Yeah.
Well, I was surprised too.
I don't know. I would tend to.
All
think.
Right. This is Darren from Studio GC.
Hey, everyone.
Hello.
You can have a seat right at the table.
Thank you.
And if you want to just take a couple seconds to introduce yourself, and
sure.
then if the trustees have questions, they can start asking questions.
Okay.
We have a
good.
Trustee on the phone also.
Yeah.
Oh, hello. So, all right. Well, my name is Darren Schroeder. I'm with Studio GC. I've been with the company since 2013. I've been an owner of the company now for just over 4 years. I started my library experience back in 2006. With Rick McCarthy at two firms before this one, and I have done nothing but libraries since then. The only three projects that have not been libraries in all that time were three park district projects that my office needed me to work on that took me away from what I really truly love, which is the library work. So I've worked with a number of libraries over that time, from projects that are as big as $25 million brand new buildings to $100,000 small projects that just focused on a specific area or on a specific item to improve their library services to their patrons. So that's a little bit about me. I will open it up to questions from any of the board at this point.
Trustee Wills.
Yes.
Just background. I have visited Antioch, Bedford Park, and Lake Villa.
Mm-hmm.
Were you involved in all those projects?
I was involved in Lake Villa. That was the project that I focused on for many years. For Antioch, that is not a project that I focused on. It was two other individuals in the office, Craig Meadows, who is another one of the principals, and Ryan LaFave, who is the project manager. And then Bedford Park I oversaw, but Elizabeth Veach was the project manager on it, and Jim Wagner, and they focused on that project. So,
okay. Follow-up.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about how you utilize, if you do, community engagement to understand the needs of communities that you're working with libraries to play into.
Yeah, sure. So we feel community engagement is important, right? You need to gauge what the community wants on any of your projects. So depending on if it's big or small, what we like to do is we like to identify how you would like to go about it. We don't tend to come in and tell you how you should do it. We like to cater our community engagement to each one of our clients. We do, if it needs to come from us as some guidance, we like to focus on smaller groups first to be more in-depth or one-on-one. We feel that people are more willing to open up in those settings, especially if you vary where those meetings take place. So, and then once we gather all that information, you can get input sessions from a larger crowd. You can have a larger meeting, but you've already gained some initial background so that you're not coming to a very large group with new information that you can get the crowd kind of riled up about, right? If you feel like the crowd doesn't feel you're moving in the right direction. So that's why we like those initial focus groups. So we do those either virtually or in person. I certainly prefer all the meetings to be in person, but that again, that goes out to the community. If you want to reach out to them through surveys, which are obviously you can get all sorts of comments back. It's not personal at that point. You can get all sorts of comments from that. We do help script those types of surveys so that you can ask poignant questions that would be specific to what you're looking to do, and hopefully you're getting the right feedback.
This is personal bias.
Sure.
I don't think we have good penetration in our community as far as engagement with our community. My bias is that I use card holders. 25% of our community has a library card. Oftentimes, talking with other libraries, it's 45, 50, 60%, which says to me that we have an unengaged component in our community that we're not reaching. How would you reach out to those types of people? Because they're important. They're part of what we are here to serve,
mm-hmm.
whether we're actively doing so.
Yeah, it's a great question. I think you need to understand your community, right? And this is part of our proposal. We talk about the scientific portion of what we do. We really like to study your demographics and do peer reviews, right? So we want to understand who, you know, the age groups, what their income is, right? And then look at what you're successful at. So when you look at what you're doing for programs and collection size and you look at other libraries, you can start trending or figuring out where you measure up. And if those areas are considerable a potential issue, you can address them. And you may find that the community is looking for something that you don't offer. But you have to do the studying and understand your community before you can go out. Because you can't just go out and just start communicating to people, right? You have to have a message. You have to have focus. So that study or that scientific portion of really understanding what your library is, who the people in your community are, and how you look at other libraries and how they're going out and talking to other people. And that's where someone like our firm, I'm sure the other firms that were here also, who specialize in libraries day after day, are going to be able to work off of their experience and be able to tell you about other clients and how they're able to do that engagement. But the first, you got to understand your community. And that's through scientific study, demographics, you know, all that stuff. So,
yeah. And what portion of that's included in your...
It's all included. We do it for all of our... That, it's a critical. It's we can't do it without it. I couldn't come in and do an analysis for you without having that included. So that study of going through that and doing that peer review is part of our process and part of our fee. Yeah.
You know, with the, you showed the hours and the dollar amounts and everything.
Yeah.
What does that break down as far as weeks or months?
So that's the great question. I'll elongate it for as long as you want, or I'll compress it as much as you want. So I believe you had an idea that you wanted to be finished with the report by the end of the year. So that was kind of what I was reflecting, trying to work within my other. Our firm was originally a company that was started that worked specifically with schools and school boards, are very specific on hitting specific deadlines. So we are very much accustomed to meeting our clients' goals when they want to truncate the time and really get to work on something.
You answered my question.
Oh, okay. There you go.
I just want to say really quick that I don't know if the other trustees saw this, but that you are the only one that actually said Studio GC offers sessions entirely in Spanish. You're mm-hmm. the only one that yeah, mentioned that in yeah. community approach.
So we have found through working with a number of our clients that obviously there is a growing Spanish population across the Chicagoland area, and we feel it's an important demographic to reach. So we have an individual in our office her name is Gisela. She is originally from Colombia. She's worked with us for over 12, 13 years now. And she does the presentations in Spanish. We find that people that are native Spanish speakers are more comfortable in talking to someone that is also a native Spanish speaker, especially someone that is an immigrant to the country, and then can feed off of the same experiences that Gisela has. So it just provides a comfort level at that point.
So it's not just Spanish, but we also have a strong Polish and an Indian community.
So we can cover the Indian. Unfortunately, we don't have someone that speaks Polish.
Luckily, we do here at the library.
Yeah, and we would recommend, it, when we don't have someone that speaks the language that you're looking for, there's a strong Ukrainian population that's moved into the area, so we don't speak Ukrainian, but we do recommend if you're going to reach out to your community and understand who lives in it, you have to find someone that can do those the meetings together in both English and whatever language you're looking for. And you can translate it. You don't have to necessarily have the meeting in the initial language.
Right.
You can translate it and then post it on your website for people to view. But we also, that's also helps with those focus groups. We find, especially with the minority groups, that going to a location that is comfortable to them, it's not always at the library. So sometimes it's going to a local restaurant, or it's going to, we've done an ice cream parlor before, mm-hmm. you know, finding a place that they might feel more comfortable going to than coming to what they consider a formal setting at a public meeting, at a public institution. We want to make sure that when we reach out to them, that we're getting real good feedback from them.
Just something silly, you might copy.
Yeah.
The address on Eola Road branches.
Oh, do I have it incorrect? I will tell Jordan.
Just so you know. Yes. Just in case you
Jordan's
do this for another.
Yeah, I'll let Jordan know that she probably copied it from something and then didn't get it right.
So. But he made it here, so it's okay.
Yeah. Right, exactly. Information is correct. Yeah. That's the
main thing. Anything?
Hi, this is Lynn. I'm on the phone here. So my understanding is, well, we know that Bartlett is very culturally diverse, and we also know that there are a lot of people in the community that would translate if they were asked. I know the school system and such, they do have people that can translate. So without making that the focus of your company, what do you really see a strong point with your with your company?
Well, when it comes to library design, I don't think we have really a competitor. And I'm biased, but I think our ability and our creativity that we've proven over time is unrivaled. I think we do excellent work. I think it's thoughtful. I think we always get as much out of what our clients are looking for and our communities. And we do well executing from beginning to end. So we have the creativity side, the interior design side, because we have specific people in the office that's their specialty, and that's what they work on. But we also have people that have been in the construction side, building buildings now for over 40 years. So we have the science side. So I think that when it comes to putting a whole building together, I think that sets us apart. We're able to tackle all of those elements. I think other firms tend to have areas that they specialize in, and then other areas that they have weaknesses in, and that's just based on their background. I think we just have a really great group of people that we've cultivated over time, both new employees and employees that have been there since the very beginning of the firm.
Well, Darren, I want to thank you very much on behalf of myself and the other trustees for your time. We have a regular meeting here.
So thank you. I appreciate the opportunity, and good luck in your search.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Madam President?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, since that was the last, is there anyone else?
No.
No.
Then I'll make a motion to adjourn this committee of the whole meeting.
I'll second it.
Okay. Roll call.
Okay. Olson?
Yes.
DeSchmidt?
Yes.
Boyer?
Yes.
Zia Sampson? Barry?
Yes.
Carl, yes. Danny?
Yes.